All right, we've got Aki's A-List coming up here in a couple of minutes. Phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. Bears draft is complete. It seems that Bears fans are very happy. I know we're very happy. The bone of contention centers around the punter pick in the fourth round. Meller and Waddle have been going at it. You're going Carm hate it. Meller loves it. Waddle doesn't like it. I'm sort of okay with it.
I'm over it.
I don't think you're over it. I don't think you are.
I am.
I think once we get into it, you would have rather than not have done it.
Yes, but I'm over it. Like, what am I going to do?
Tory Taylor is a weapon.
He's a weapon.
It's Pat McAfee. We're efforting Pat McAfee, by the way, to see if we can get him on.
And we have this beautiful, big, strong, physical specimen. I never knew they made punters that big. I didn't think punters, but he's a big guy. All-American, number one in the country. Tory Taylor from the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yes. Did you say this at the caucuses, at the Iowa caucus?
Unifying force, my friend.
When was this? Was that 4 years ago, or was this recently?
I think that was the previous...
Did he kick off the rally with a punt?
I mean...
Is that what they did?
Listen, he's a unifying force.
I obviously found out why Meller likes him so
Make
much.
Make Aussies great again.
Yeah.
Got myself a hat.
Yeah.
You know Cuddy's all bought in, man. Cuddy's going to love him. Here, can I play you this? This is from the Get Up team today.
Get Up!
They were raving about the Bears draft overall. I think you're going to hear Tenenbaum here, Mike Tenenbaum. You're going to hear even Orlovsky, who is spewing some craziness today about Atlanta.
Is anybody getting an MVP vote early on?
No, but he was backing what the Falcons did.
I saw some of that.
I'm like, geez. Yeah. But Orlovsky, you'll hear Mike Tenenbaum, who used to be the general manager of the Jets and the Dolphins. You'll hear Dan Graziano in there and Greeny. So it's the four of them talking about the Bears draft, and I believe they all have the Bears draft as the best draft, as the biggest winner from the weekend's draft.
You saw Mel only gave him a B.
I know. I think part of it was because of the punter.
I think it was.
Yeah. And because of the
pecs. I gave
him
an A.
Yeah.
I gave him an A.
Good for you.
Yeah. Feel good about it, too.
So here's Get Up this morning.
Which team in the NFL had the best draft, in your opinion?
I think it's the Bears. I don't think we need to overthink this. They used the number one pick on the best player. They used the number nine pick on a receiver that's probably going to help him instantly and adds depth to an already strong group. I think they only made five picks, but there are five that can help them this year or in the short term. And even if they only made those first two, they'd have been a candidate for this.
Well, on the offensive lineman they took from Yale, a lot of people love as well. So you get the young quarterback, both his receiver and a little offensive line help to help him. What did you think?
Hunter, gotta love that.
The Bears had a lot of opportunity here to set the tone in this draft. Mike T, how do you think they did?
Yeah, they hit a home run. It was best case scenario. Rome Odunze may be the best receiver from this draft. Him and Caleb Williams will be electric to watch.
Do I have Orlovsky yet? Has he checked? I have not heard yet from Mr. Yes, he is.
There he is.
All right, Dan Orlovsky. Is Caleb Williams walking into the best situation of any number one overall quarterback you've ever seen?
Ever. Absolutely. You're talking about a defense that was the number one ranked points per game defense in the NFL the back half of the season. I think the Chicago Bears right now have a top 10 or top 12 offensive line. I also think the Chicago Bears have a top 8 skill group in that NFC conference. And that is a far cry from what they were 2 years ago. I've said this. The kid gloves will be off, Caleb Williams. The expectations have never been higher. The expectations for performance for Caleb Williams are similar to what they were for Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford.
That's what I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, also factor into the equation, at least I do, because your draft currency wasn't just used for these five picks. You used a second-round pick on Montez Sweat. You used a fourth-round pick in this year's draft on Keenan Allen and a fifth-round pick on Ryan Bates. Like, you got more out of this draft than just those five picks.
It's amazing to think that, like with a punter conversation, you got Keenan Allen for a fourth round pick, and you got a punter for a fourth round pick.
Well, again, like
that sort of it shows you how valuable the Keenan Allen trade was.
Sure,
We're arguing over the punter with a fourth round pick. You got a future Hall of Famer with a fourth round pick.
Yeah, this is why I'm saying, like, I mean, we can have the punter conversation. It's fun. But this draft, despite the fact that they only had five picks from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, this draft, you have to look at it in its totality.
Yeah.
And what they came away with using their draft currency was all those people I mentioned. Ryan Bates is a fifth round pick as well. Like,
he's got to play.
Of course he does. And I have more concern about their center than anything. But, like, again, the punter conversation is basically, and if you zoom out, it's a noisy conversation. You, like, look at the totality of what they've done this offseason with their draft currency. I don't know how you could come to any conclusion other than it was fantastic. You got the best quarterback. You know, some people believe Roma Dunze is every bit as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. I certainly believe he was a better choice than Malik Nabers and all the other stuff. Like, how could you not be excited?
If they come away with, if Caleb and Rome are just, I don't know, 75% of what you hope their best, whatever their ceiling could be.
And it's an A-plus regardless.
And then you add Montez Sweat and Keenan Allen for these, you know, the second contract that Montez Sweat is on, and even just 1 year of Keenan Allen, that might go down as one of the greatest draft, you know, hauls that a GM has ever pulled off.
And that's why I don't think 75%, though. I know what you're saying. Like, let's shoot for the moon here. Like, let's go in the 90% range of what we think they're going to be. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, of course, if that happens, Sylvie, might be the best draft the GM has ever had.
I'm just saying, what I'm saying is all of these guys can talk about five selections. I think you have to zoom out and look at this draft, including the things I mentioned. I think you have to, it's all inclusive for me.
Of course, of course. Let me take one call, then we'll get to Aki's A-List. Kenny in Dallas, here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How we doing?
We're good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So, I'm with the majority of, I think, Bears fans, and pretty super excited of what happened over the weekend. And, you know, with Caleb Williams coming in, I'm an OU fan, and so I was at the game where he came in versus Texas and rallied and all that, and kind of bummed when he left and went to USC, and was somewhat skeptical of him. But, man, all the stuff that everybody said about him being a diva, watching that Pivot podcast, like, if anything, he's the opposite of that. I mean, he seems like a fun dude. Like, no wonder all his teammates have his back. You know, the way that he, you know, really opened up, and, you know, that podcast was amazing, right? And so, dude, I'm super fired up. I'm so glad he's our quarterback. Loved getting Rome at 9. I mean, I'm sitting here doing cartwheels, super excited on Thursday night. And I just think, you know, we're back, man. I hope these guys pan out like y'all were just talking about, and super fired up, bear down, and can't wait for September.
Yep, Kenny, thank you. I don't know him for anything, but I just think a lot of the stuff, the pre-draft stuff, was a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
And like, let's, I think a lot of it, for whatever reason, it was fake. And like, given the benefit of the doubt, and so far, all of it seems pretty good.
I forget the words I used, but I believed strongly in them on Friday. I believe he's very authentic. I think he's very engaging, and I think he's very intelligent.
And like, self-aware.
Yes, absolutely. And again, it doesn't equate to greatness on the field, but anybody having questions about who he is and how he feels about football, I want my players to love the sport. It is a job. It's fun as hell. It's great in so many ways, but it's job. It's hard. So you've got to love it. And I think he's sincere when he talks about how much he's possessed by the game.
They talked a lot about that again this weekend, about you got to get guys who love to play football.
Yes.
And that was key. All right, let's get to Aki's A-List.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
Tyler Aki is our producer. He has some questions to ask us, and we try and answer them the best we can. What do you got, Tyler?
All right. Lots has been made of the punter pick of Torrey Taylor in the fourth round.
By the way, how'd you like it?
I'm kind of with you. Like, it wasn't the way that I would go. But punter is a need on this team. Like, if you look at a lot of the metrics and stuff, Trenton Gill is one of, if not the worst punter in all of football. But I think there's a lot of different ways to find a punter aside from a fourth-round draft pick. Anyway, how good, and you can quantify it in whatever way you want, whether it's years played, Pro Bowls, All-Pro, all that, how good does Torrey Taylor have to be to justify the pick?
Should be great. He has to be great. It's like when you draft Caleb Williams number one overall as the quarterback, you're setting the bar high for a punter when you – not many punters get drafted this high. I mean, we talked about Sauerbrunn.
You wouldn't equate it to a quarterback being drafted first overall. It's high, but there have been guys drafted higher than this.
But there have been many quarterbacks drafted number one overall.
That's true.
So you when you have – I bet you there have been more quarterbacks drafted number one overall than punters drafted in the top four rounds.
Yes.
So I think it's more unprecedented for what the Bears did with this, and he has to be a multi-time Pro Bowler, and he has to change, flip the field. Like, he has to be great.
He's got to be, I mean, you would hope he's your answer for the next decade plus. So 10 years, above average, and having to be, you know, a Pro Bowler several times. That's what I would say.
We have to talk about him like Iowa fans talk about him. We have to, like, he can't, like, as good as Brad Maynard was, or some of the other punters that we may have liked,
he's got to be better than that.
He has to be great.
Yeah, like the standard changes for a punter drafted in the fourth round.
Of
like
course.
It's the same thing, like you said, Sylvie, like a quarterback going first overall. Like, the standard is different for you than anyone else that may be taken in your class.
How about this organization has Chris Gardocki was a third round pick, I think number 75. And Todd Sauerbrunn was a second round pick. Like, we love ourselves some punters.
Yeah.
In the top half of the draft. Meller, you got over there just giggling, loving punters. You got to love that.
I absolutely do. I'm thinking like it's they could play just as long, Caleb Williams and Torrey Taylor here. Like, they could, hopefully you got 15 years out of both is what I'm hoping
for. Who was obviously didn't the Bills draft their punter and then he
Matt Araiza,
right? And then he was accused of that, but then he was found innocent, right? Yeah. And then I think another team just the Chiefs just signed him.
Yes,
he was a highly drafted punter, wasn't he? Like fifth round?
He absolutely was.
Where was he?
I want to say fifth round sounds right.
Fifth or sixth,
yeah,
something like that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a lot of buzz around all of the NFC North right now. Whether it's the Lions, they're coming off a trip to the NFC Championship. The Packers feel like they have found their quarterback of the future and have a very young roster. The Bears, we've talked about ad nauseum. And then the Vikings went out and found their new quarterback of the future as well with J.J. McCarthy. I ask you guys, if you could hitch your wagon to any of the four teams over the next 5 years, who is the envy of the NFC North?
The envy of the NFC North. I mean, if we're drinking Kool-Aid, it's the Bears.
I said to you guys, I think you asked this upstairs. I'm choosing the Bears. Like, I'm not picking them to win the division this year, but if you're looking long-term, like, let's face it, you just drafted Caleb Williams first overall in a quarterback-rich draft. He better, 3 or 4 years from now, be the best quarterback in this division. Which includes Jared Goff. I don't know how much longer he'll be around. Jordan Love.
Right.
J.J. McCarthy. Jordan, you drafted Love, him we one know overall.
That was a flash in the pan. He won't repeat what he did last year. Jared Goff isn't a franchise quarterback, but they have a really good roster. So, yeah, maybe the Bears. I mean, it's so easy to are we going from 0 to 60 too quickly?
Well,
are
we going from worst to first again,
like, to be the envy of the North?
Who are you hitching your wagon to for the next 5 years?
I mean, like,
next 5 years. Caleb, that includes this year.
Of course. Yes. Caleb Williams was the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, I know.
And is the best quarterback prospect by many people's evaluations since Andrew Luck. Like, and by the way, Ryan Poles has built a pretty nice infrastructure on offense. And by the way, the defense made tremendous strides in the second half of the season.
If you're betting $1,000 for the most wins in this division over the next 5 years.
$1,000.
$1,000. Big money for you. That's a big wager for you.
Yeah, because I normally bet $5 right on everything.
Who are you? Who's going to win the most games over the next 5 years?
I would.
What, the Bears?
Well, where's my? Are the odds even on all four?
Yes, so that's what he gets. He's not giving you odds here. He's saying who is the envy.
I'll take the Bears for the next 5 years. If not, we made a mistake at one.
I don't think.
You just said the Green Bay Packers quarterback is his flash in the pan.
Yes,
and the guy in Detroit sucks.
No, I did say he sucks. I said he's not
a franchise quarterback.
He's not the
guy. Is our guy a franchise quarterback?
I hope he is. Yes.
If not, we made a mistake.
There were six quarterbacks taken in the top 12. You had the first pick. He better be a franchise quarterback.
Wasn't he the number one pick, too?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the last guy to be drafted by a 7-win team, number one overall, yes. Matter of fact.
Who are you betting on, Sylvie?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because I don't want to be that guy, because I've been that guy many, many times. I remember the poll question we did. Who is the best quarterback in the division?
And you said Justin?
And it was Jay Cutler.
Favre, Stafford.
No, it was Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler.
And Favre as the Vikings quarterback.
And Favre as the Vikings quarterback. And I was all in. It's Jay. We've got him. Aaron Rodgers, not good. He's not going to live up to what people think. Favre's over the hill. Stafford doesn't win the big game. It's Jay. 2009 this was.
The way they're set up, though,
I know
this season is the only season where I might be reluctant to pick them to have the most wins in the NFC North. I believe in Caleb Williams, and so if you believe in Caleb Williams, like, there's a very good chance that you're thinking the Bears are going to run this division for the next. Because,
by the way,
every year after this, they look set up to be great.
I think they've got 10 draft picks next year, too, don't they?
All right, I'm in. I'm in.
I'm not picking them to win the division in 2024.
There's a five-year play.
I am.
Well, that's fine. I'm not. But I still believe that over the course of the next 5 years.
Good poll question for tomorrow, Tyler. Over the next 5 years, who wins the most amount of football games?
Well, the Bears!
We're getting chesty awfully quickly. After winning how many games did you just say in 2 years?
10 games in the last 2 years. But
we haven't beaten the Packers in 10 games.
No. But that's why you got the first overall pick.
The ninth.
And because Carolina
sucks. And the ninth. Well,
yeah.
Correct. But I'm saying, I'm not sitting here telling you this based on something prior to this year. Like, they have used their resources on players that are difference-making players, or so we hope. I don't think it's going to be a runaway. It'll be competitive.
Who's your number two then?
Probably Green Bay. I love what Detroit has done, but like everything ebbs and flows. And at some point, I do believe the Bears have the capacity to play with them or above these guys. I don't think it'll be like, I'm not telling you the Bears are going 13-4. And everybody else is going 7-10. I think it'll be very competitive. I think it's going to be one of the more competitive divisions in football for the next several years.
A lot of people think it could be the best.
If I didn't believe in Caleb Williams and the group that Ryan Poles had put together, I'd be honest with you. But I do believe in this group, and I think that they are good enough to hopefully be the best of a very competitive division soon.
If Jim Harbaugh was the head coach with this roster,
I would be even more compelled.
I think we'd all be in. I think that's the last thing we want to know.
Yeah, like, you think about it, in terms of the four teams in the division, the best quarterback to head coach health and like chemistry is Green Bay right now.
Yes, no doubt.
And Matt LaFleur is a great, is a very good coach.
And that's
and Dan Campbell's a very good coach.
He is.
But what happens if Ben Johnson leaves to take a head coaching job? Then what happens with how good is your quarterback at that point?
This is not an easy question to answer for me. And I think it'll be a very competitive division over the next 5 years. But Caleb Williams has a really good chance of being a significant difference maker in this league. The talent is there. I think his approach is
there. The weaponry around him.
And the group around him. And again, look, they're not in any type of cap hell. In fact, you've got a rookie quarterback. You've got a full complement of picks in 2025. I mean, the arrow is up. I don't think it'll happen overnight, but you said 5 years, right?
5 years.
5 years. Yeah. We better be. It's our time.
We've waited long enough.
Yes.
I would like to see 5 good years, not ebb and flow. I want over the next 5 years.
It's a young team, too.
At least 55 wins.
I mean,
is that asking too much?
11 a year?
11. You play 17 games these days.
Maybe play 18 by the time you get to year five.
I would hope a couple of those years you win more than that. You know, a couple of years you have a couple of 13 win seasons. Like no more 7 win seasons. Those days are done.
And if he's great, Caleb Williams, this is two where you make the noise because he's on his rookie contract.
That's my
point. So, you know, this will be the most flexibility that Ryan Poles has.
You got a ton of youth. You got a ton of youth over the next 5 years. Your entire, you know, I mean, like, you're going to have some decisions to be made. There's for sure.
It's a good question, Tyler. Good Aki's A-list. And then we've got the good, the bad, the dirty coming up next.
The Bears!
This is Waddle and Sylvie. On ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty, our recap of the sports weekend or anything else we witnessed. It's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Avondale Roofing. If your roof, commercial or residential, has been taking a beating, check out our friends at Avondale Roofing. Search avondaleroofing.com. You can read their reviews, sign up for a free estimate. Avondale on top until you're satisfied. Just the way Waddle likes it.
Amen.
What's your good?
My good was the performance by Jalen Brunson. 47 points, 10 assists in the Knicks' 97-92 win over the Sixers. The Knicks now up 3-1 in this series. I will continue to say this as long as I am still breathing. I was so wrong about Jalen Brunson and him being a difference-making superstar in this league. Now, it took a few years, but there's no question he is a bona fide superstar in this league. Randy Merkin, you were 100% correct about this. I was 100% wrong about it. It is a joy to watch Jalen Brunson play basketball.
I don't even think he got enough flowers in the postseason awards. Like, he was left off the Olympic team, wasn't he?
I think so.
I don't think he made first team All-NBA.
I don't believe so.
So, yeah, and I sent you guys a tweet, like, something that Bill Simmons said when the Knicks first signed him, that he'll never be a guy, Bill Simmons said, the Knicks fans will be raving, oh, we're going to the Garden to watch Jalen Brunson score 40. Like, he's doing exactly that in playoff moments. He's carrying this team with injuries. He's incredible.
He's unbelievable.
I don't think anyone saw it coming. I think Merkin was nuts to think that. But he was absolutely right.
And by the way, in an era where you see high flying players that do some incredible athletic things, which is all great as well, he does it in a manner that may not be as eye popping, but is equally impressive. Like his style of play, you still at the end of watching a game, you're like, how the hell did he put up 47? But he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic player.
Absolutely. My good is actually something ridiculous that Raheem Morris said, but The reason it's by good is thank goodness for Atlanta going with Michael Penix, because like a lot of people thought, hey, maybe they'll trade down and take one of the defensive players, or maybe trade down and take Penix. But if Atlanta gives up the number 8 pick and someone goes up for Odunze, the Bears don't get Odunze. So thank goodness they're so off the wall. I thought if you're all in with Kirk Cousins, then why would you go for another quarterback? You can't be halfway. But this explanation is so glorious, is so nutty. It's so great. Listen to this on how the Penix pick, how they explain it.
Was this Raheem Morris sitting next to Terry Fontenot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you hear this?
I did. It's great.
Make sense out of this. It's so fantastic.
I hate for it to be like the story of the draft. I know it will be. That's just how our world is based and is driven. But I can't say it gets annoying. I can't say it's annoying. No, because it's what people want to see is pique more interest. I feel like, you know, what's Kelsey's girlfriend name? I feel like her right now, just based off. I'm Taylor Swift right now, and Terry's Kelsey, I guess.
What? He's Taylor Swift, and Terry Fontenot is Travis Kelsey?
And
how does that make any sense?
Like this is a story because this is what our world's come to these days. No, this is a story because you guys gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed.
And I love it. I love it that another team is as dysfunctional as we usually are, and we're not that team anymore. The Bears are making plays that make sense, and it's another team that's acting foolish. So that's my good. Thankfully. Maller, what's your good?
My good also came from a front office member of the NFL. On Friday night, I caught this. Chris Ballard, the GM of the Indianapolis Colts, went off. Chris Ballard, of course, cut his teeth as a scout in the Bears front office back in the early 2000s. And he was annoyed about some of the anonymous quotes that come out regarding players that are drafted. I thought it was a spectacular rant by Colts GM Chris Ballard.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the bullshit that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical excuse my language. Our typical league. Unnamed sources. You know, bad interview. That's such bull. I mean, it is. It's bull. Like, put your name on it. I'm tired of we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, I think, you know, I said it last year. It's bull. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
I don't, but I do. I loved it. It was so good, too.
What was he talking about?
So Adonai Mitchell, who I believe is diabetic, right? And there was an anonymous scout who said, you know, if he's immature, he's not always on top of it. It's like a Cutler thing again. And when his blood insulin isn't up to, like, he's sometimes hard to deal with. And that was from an anonymous scout. And that was the breakdown of him. And I think Chris Ballard said it best. Like, when you're 21, 22, 23, like, if everything in your life was examined so closely, you know, I mean, it is kind of BS for a person to anonymously put that out there.
Did the scout also say that he's going to have some bad night games?
Probably.
Did you read the one scout who said about Caleb Williams that he plays quarterback like Prince?
Yes.
Like, how weird is like some of the stuff that comes out?
He plays quarterback the way, as we said last week, the way that Prince was a musician. Oh. We're good. We're set.
Yeah, one of the greatest musicians of all time. Sign me up, please.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. What do you got, Tyler?
My good from the weekend came from Caleb Williams. He was out and about everywhere. He obviously did his photo shoots, but he has, if you notice in a lot of these pictures, he's displaying a bear claw. He's got his hand up in like a bear claw motion, and it felt like that took over all of social media, and it feels like Bears fans have a unifying like hand gesture now to talk about their team.
That used to be our thing when we used to say that like how I always would say cubby chubby, that when the Bears would win, we have our bear claw out.
Yeah.
And then we started buying bear claws
and
the
then they
pastries.
Stopped winning.
They stopped winning and we stopped doing it.
You put your bear claw back in your pants.
So I could totally get behind the bear claw.
I'm for it.
Is that
it.
Your bear claw or are you just happy to see us?
I like it. He was at the Lakers game. And he had it out.
Yeah, he got back quickly, didn't he? Yeah. He went back to LA quickly.
Private jet will do that for you, won't it? You'll have to stand in line.
All right, what do you got, Waddle, for your bad?
My bad was the Suns. They got swept by the T-Wolves, and in the process of said sweep, the T-Wolves won those games by an average margin of 15 points per game. Booker, Durant, Beal, an embarrassing performance by them collectively as they got swept.
My bad is Joel Embiid, who has been a cheap shot artist on the court that we've talked about, and he usually isn't. I don't think he is. And, like, I give him so much credit for coming back because he's playing hurt. And I think so many people would have given him credit for simply just trying. That's what we want our athletes to do. Give it your best to play. But he's made things worse by being a guy who has taken some cheap shots against the Knicks. And then he doubled down by going after his fan base. And that won't sit well with Philly. Take a listen to Embiid.
Disappointed. You know, I love our fans. Think he's unfortunate. And I'm not calling him out, but it is disappointing. You know, obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
What's the win there? What's the win by calling out when you don't win and you're going to get eliminated in the first round by the Knicks, who are also shorthanded? What's the win of calling out the fan base?
And it makes you look even worse when you start the answer to the question, whatever the question was, with, I'm not going to call the fans out, and then call the fans out over the next 60 seconds.
Yeah, that's bad. Mellor, you're bad.
My bad happened Friday night in the middle of an Angels-Tigers game. The game was momentarily delayed when a goose was loose out on the field.
A goose?
Take a listen to the Bally Sports West call of the goose loose on the field on Friday night.
Move it. Oh, yeah, he likes the dirt instead.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Quick. Can't quite get that launch angle down yet.
Huh.
Working it.
Nope.
He ain't going anywhere.
No.
Worked all night to get these seats.
And he's going to perch in left field.
Nope.
There he goes. He gone.
He's in cruise control now.
Oh! Ran into the scoreboard. Down goes the goose. Oh, the poor thing.
Oh, the goose had finally started to fly. It took flight, and then it ran into a scoreboard.
It flew into the scoreboard?
Flew into the scoreboard and then fell down into the seats.
It was not good.
It didn't look good.
No. Did it think?
Oh! Ran into the scoreboard. Down goes the goose.
Did it think like it was
open the poor
sky?
Thing.
The scoreboard?
I don't know what it thought. It wasn't inside its head.
No, it was it's weird because it wasn't like the center field scoreboard. It was like one of those like ribbon boards that are along the first and third base line that wrap around the stadium.
The poor thing.
Is it a Canadian goose?
Yes.
One of those?
I think it might have been.
The most common goose?
Yes.
Mm.
They're not very friendly most of the time, those
geese. No, goose are terrible animals.
What do you guys insinuate?
Mean spirit.
The poor goose.
I'm not insinuating anything other than they're not very nice. Not nice.
What do you got, Tyler?
My bad is the Tampa Bay Rays. How do you get swept by the White Sox?
You're a hater.
There is...
Bro,
Call me a hater. There is zero world in which the Tampa... And I know the Rays aren't the Rays that we've seen in past years right now.
Yeah.
But... No team should be getting swept by the Chicago White Sox.
So the White Sox doubled their win total in a weekend. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is almost impossible to do.
They killed Cinco before Cinco de Mayo.
Enjoy the haterade in there.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
So can I do my dirty then here?
Yeah, because my dirty was just Joel Embiid, and you described it perfectly. Yeah.
So that was Josh Schifrin's call. So can we play the whole call? Like that was the Benintendi walk-off on Saturday when they won the second game. It's a very enthusiastic call. Let me set it up. And
By the way, I think his first name's John.
Did I say Josh again? John Schriffen. He's the new television play-by-play voice on NBC Sports Chicago. If you don't have it, that's fine. And again, the Sox have been struggling mightily. He takes a new job. He's called loss after loss after loss. So I think I'm being fair when I say he is letting out a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of pent-up frustration. So I get that he wants to be super enthusiastic on a walk-off call. And I think Sox fans would appreciate that. Where my dirty part of it comes off, can you just play that bite again, Meller, this part?
It's, say it with me! Yeah. Say it proud! For all the haters! Southside, stand up!
Now, it's cool that Southside stand up, but I'd like to just ask John, who are these haters that you're talking about? Most of the haters on this station that we have talked to are Sox fans who hate what this team has become. They've hated the culture of last year's team. They've hated the way ownership has taken this direction. They've hated the hirings. They've hated the losses. And they've hated losing. I don't think anyone has been unfair in their criticism of a 3-21 start. I understand that when you want to unite a fan base and you're new in town, you like to ball up your fists and get everyone together. But I think it's awfully dirty. I think when you're new in town and you're calling people haters after a 3-21 or 3-22 start, you gotta learn the environment a little bit more before you understand who's hating and who's not. Again, you can yell at me because I'm a Cubs fan. But I really, truly believe on this radio station from my Sox friends and the calls that I have taken and we have taken on this radio station and from guys like Meller, diehard Sox fan, who now watches other teams because of where the Sox are. Hoodie, diehard Sox fan, who watches other teams because of his frustration. Carmen, diehard Sox fan, who watches other teams because of the direction of his team. And the calls that we get, that this is frustration. It's not me. It's Sox fans who are just frustrated. So, like, John, I understand you want to be enthusiastic. I understand you want to be embraced by this community and embraced by the South Side. But just watch who you point the finger to about being haters. So be enthusiastic. Love a good walk-off, no matter how bad they are. No one is telling you to calm it down because they just won a game. No one is ever going to tell you that. Be you. But I would just say, don't tell others how to be either. Because no one's going to tell you how to be. Don't tell other Sox fans who you are saying are haters for being the way you are.
It's not a pop-up situation either here.
That's what I'm saying.
For White Sox fans.
Yeah, yeah. You can't spend 28 games or 25 games in this town of Chicago and start taking roll call on who the haters are. You have no idea who the haters are. You have no idea how this organization is run. You have no idea of what the environment is.
When was the last time the White Sox won a playoff series?
2005. And that's the only time under Jerry Reinsdorf the White Sox have won a playoff series.
I think White Sox fans have been patient for the most part.
Yes. So, again, I understand you're very happy. You're very enthusiastic. You're trying to make an impression in this town. But don't wag the finger like Dikembe and tell others who may not think like you that they're haters. Enjoy the milkshake.
We're a little pinched for time, so I'm not going to play the whole thing. But John Kruk, who can spin a yarn, the former Phillies great, he spun one hell of a story this weekend on the NBC Sports Philly broadcast about when he played in the Mexican Baseball League.
how during spring training they played the prison team.
Oh, boy.
And he actually, they let the catcher, who didn't have any equipment, borrow some of their gear. And so he was talking to the catcher, and he was like, hey, this lefty you've got thrown on the mound, he's a hell of a pitcher. What did he do? And then John Kruk provided the punchline.
So I asked the catcher, I said, what did he do? He's out. He found his girlfriend cheating. He burned up her car with her and her boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
NBC Sports Philly, John Kruk. One hell of a tale in the middle of a Phillies game.
It's a bit graphic for a family broadcast.
I was not expecting that, my friends.
Speaking of hating, that was some hater aid right there.
Yeah.
Then Castellanos homered the next pitch.
Oh, well played, Tyler.
I'm kind of going off of what Sylvie had with Joel Embiid. Just Sixers fans in general, and I think this is dirty good. They bought up all those tickets to go be in enemy territory. Or Knicks fans, I should say. Yeah. Knicks fans, dirty good, because they bought up all those tickets to go into enemy territory. And then they were throwing Sixers or Knicks jerseys on the Wilt Chamberlain statue outside of the Sixers arena as well. They completely took over the place.
Wow.
They started the FMB chants as well. It was awesome. Big fan of what they did this weekend.
All right, there you go. The good, the bad, the dirty. Brought to you by our great friends and partners at Avondale Roofing. Avondale Roofing on top until you're satisfied. We'll have a few words before White Sox baseball. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Maybe the only rehab start he needs and could be up with a big club.
You could use it.
Yes. They're very shorthanded on the pitching staff. Kyle Hendricks is... could get a rehab start later this week as well.
What are you guys going to do to bolster your bullpen?
Well, I think it's sort of an issue that they need to address quickly. And also, too, I think being so short-handed in the rotation has really hampered the bullpen because they've had to...
use them more frequently.
Yeah, and they've had to use some of the bullpen arms.
Wouldn't you just take Ben Brown and just start him?
Well, I don't like the way they've yo-yoed him.
Especially when you've got now, you got Wicks on the injured list. You know, you're still trying to get Steele back. Hendricks hasn't pitched well.
They need to make a choice with him, and he is a starter, and he was showing promise starting, and then all of a sudden they started using him in the bullpen, and then they pitched him one inning in the Houston series, and then they're like, okay, go start against the Red Sox. So I don't know what they're doing with him. I don't love it. All right, so we've got White Sox Twins coming up. That should be, see if the White Sox win 4 in a row.
Woo, yeah!
Don't
look at me like that.
Thank you to Field Yates, who joined us today. A lot of good Bears talk. Tomorrow we'll talk to T.J. Houshmandzadeh, too. He's a guy who
does
we've
he know
had...
football?
Yes, he does.
Does he like football?
I hope so. He played in the league, you know.
A long time.
Yes, he did, and he trained Roma Dunze. So we'll have some good stuff with him.
He's bigger than you probably imagined when you stood next to him, isn't he? He's a good-sized guy.
I didn't stand next to him at the combine. I saw him from afar.
Well, you got fairly close, didn't you?
Fairly.
Yeah.
All right, for Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
Instant classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? What I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.